And the question was asked, how do we understand what the brother's logic was in selling Yosef? So before we go there, we have to recognize that when we read Torah, it's very hard to know without Chazal who the heroes of Torah are. Because when you read the Torah without tradition, so you could walk away with a lot of questions on people who the Torah tells us are our heroes. Starting with Avraham Avinu. Meaning you see things that Avraham Avinu did, and you could easily say, excuse me, where were you when your wife needed you? Where were you when your son needed you? How come you daven for the Sodomites, Sodom and Amorah, and yet your own son, when the Akedah comes, no problem, we'll slit his neck, that's fine. Meaning you can easily read Tanakh and walk away with completely upside down perspectives. That's why Tanakh is such a dangerous thing. That's why Chazal told us that in the days of the Gemara, you first learned the Masorah of Chazal on the Gemara for 15 years, and only then were you exposed to the concept of En Mikra Yotze Midei Pshuto. You want to learn Tanakh? Begin with Rashi, with Medrash, etc. Understand what Chazal taught you about Tanakh. After you have that perspective, you could come back. The Rebbe of Chabad said that Rashi wrote his commentary for a five-year-old. Rashi's genius was that he made it that everyone could understand it, and there's depth in it, but Ben Chamesh LeMikra, being that you're supposed to start learning Torah, Tanakh at 5 years old, so Rashi wrote his commentary because these were the midrashim that at 5 years old you're supposed to teach your kid. You don't tell your child, yeah, daddy took Yitzchak by the hand, and he didn't tell him what was about to happen. Don't worry about anything, son. And then he tied his hands to his feet and the Akedah and whatever. That's not, you don't teach him the Ibn Ezra's pshat and the Rashbam's pshat and the Akedah.
Some of Rashi's pshat is Gavil Kapar Alayach and Matzit Tayareh.
You have good questions, by the way. But let's continue. It was a side point. Okay. So I, when you read the stories of Tanakh, without Chazal, you really have no idea how to understand people. Everyone. I'm saying even the people that are supposed to be our heroes. Even Moshe Rabbeinu. There are many things you could ask about Moshe Rabbeinu reading Tanakh. And Chazal told us, okay, here's the approach and there's the approach. And without it, you're really at a loss, meaning you can end up everywhere. There's really, the text on its own gives itself to so many interpretations and misinterpretations that you could end up everywhere. About David HaMelech, about Shlomo, Elamai. Chazal gave us a rule, which we have to remember also, that Hashem always included within the Tanakh context, that if you learn enough, the context will show you that Chazal were right. Chazal discuss in Bereishis that the Torah allows you to believe in paganism. The Medrash says, why did Hashem leave in the word Naaseh Adam? Why did Hashem have to put that in Torah? Meaning Hashem used the word Naaseh Adam, let us make man. Hashem left us with the ability to misunderstand and say there are many deities, right? So the Medrash Rabbah was bothered by it. The Medrash Rabbah says, learn the context, you'll see there's no room for misunderstanding. If you try to look at one word and take it out of context and ask questions, you're able to. The Torah left that in. Right. Hashem, for whatever reason, the Gemara, the Midrash says answers, but that deserves a whole other explanation. To just say the words won't be understandable. The Midrash answers why. But that's whatever. That's another question. This was all introductory to his question. Okay. Maybe, no, I can't say it in two words. Not every answer could be said in two words. You see, his question is, this is all introductory, we're not even up to his answer yet. But I'm just saying, there is a concept that Chazal tell us, if you learn enough, if you learn the context of the Psukim, including Naaseh Adam, so you'll see that the context forces you to the conclusion of Chazal, but you have to learn enough. Meaning, to just see two words, you could walk away and say, it says Naaseh Adam, leave me alone. There's more than one deity. Yes. There is that room within Tanakh. So that's a rule in understanding Tanakh. That whenever we learn Tanakh, there's potential for many misunderstandings. There's a lot. And our job is to ask the questions and look for the answers. Meaning we're not supposed to close our minds and say, whatever, everyone's kosher, everyone's tzaddikim, I just don't understand. No. Ask, learn, verify. You don't have good answers, learn some more, verify some more, and get answers. And Chazal were very straight with us. And Chazal would say, here Avram made a mistake, here Yitzchak made a mistake. The Psukim are straight with us. I mean, we're not into saying people were perfect. But we do say, this person is amazing, this person is a big tzaddik. And therefore, when you learn the story, take it in perspective. Take it in the much, much, much broader perspective of who the person is. That's so when we learn the Shvatim, so how many sentences do you know from God? What did God say in the Torah? Zero. You don't have one sentence from the Shevet God. You don't know. There was a man named God. He was the father of a whole tribe in Israel. You don't have one sentence from him in the whole Torah. Okay? What about Zvulun? Same thing. What about Dan? Same thing.
You don't get the brachas?
They get the brachas, but you don't hear them talking. Oh. You don't know anything they did their whole life.
The brachas is kind of people
they were, no? So we'll get there. So, but that's, I'm saying that, how much do you know? You know a little bit about Avram Avinu's personality, a little bit about Yitzhak, a little bit about Yaakov. You know nothing about the 12 Shvatim.
Was it God that cut off Esau's head? Which brother was it?
No, it was Hushim ben Dan, according to the Gemara. So it was
Dan's son. Levi, there we see something from them.
What do you know Levi said? Hachizonai yaset achoteinu. One sentence. Vayanu sh'achei dina. If you'll say that was them, b'mirma. According to one medrash, that was Shimon and Levi. They're the ones who said, ach bezot neot alechem b'molanu. Right? Coming back to here. So, you're asking me, what were these giants thinking? And who were they? And what were they thinking? And I'm saying, just recognize that from the Torah itself, your indication of who the Shvatim were begins, like he said, with the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, with the brachos of Moshe Rabbeinu, with the idea that Hashem says, I want their names on the breastplate, lezikaron nefanai tamid. I want to remember the Shvatim forever. Why? Oh, they're special. So the Torah's, when you want to know that the Shvatim are special, one of the places you see it is when Hashem says, forever, for eternity, every Kohen Gadol has to have on his breastplate the name of the 12, because lezikaron nefanai tamid. So it's not just they're the progenitors of the 12 tribes. Hashem says they're special to me. Ah, now we understand the Medrash about Yosef. Right? Yosef was about to transgress with Potiphar's wife. What does Hashem tell him? Yosef, you want to get erased from the Hoshen? Why is that so important? Because that's the place where you see that they have a place in Judaism or in the world like the Avos. Ordinarily, you don't know. What place do the Shvatim have? Just that they're the 12 segments of the Jewish people? So the truth is they're not. Every Shevet has certain attributes. And we say those attributes begin with the father of the Shevet. Yaakov Avinu's brachos were a revelation or a sharpening of the traits of that Shevet. Moshe Rabbeinu's as well. So the Shvatim each had their attributes. Together, they make a beautiful tapestry. You take the different colors, you blend them. Okay, you have the beautiful painting of Klal Yisrael. But it's each one has their nature. It says Shimon was a tribe of hotheads, the tribe of Shimon. You needed them, because without them, Am Yisrael wouldn't react to things. You need someone who's going to be that pilpel. If you don't have that, then Am Yisrael won't go to war when they have to. You need them. Ah, but you need to scatter them. So they have to be scattered. You make a pot, there's too much hot tomatoes in one place, hot potatoes, peppers. You're not going to be able to eat it. You put it in a lot of dishes, okay, you can eat it. So the tribes represent that. But at the core of it all, you see that they represent godliness. You see the idea that throughout the Torah, again, after their passing, and throughout the Torah treats them as big tzaddikim. So do we know what they were? Only through the continuation of the Torah and through Chazal, through tradition. You look at the text, you have no idea. And not only you have no idea, you have the Navi and Amos that says, I'm not forgiving you, Am Yisrael, for the sale of Yosef. This is a stain forever. We paid for it over the generations we've been paying. It's not over. Meaning in that sense, the Sar of Yom Kippur, according to some Rishonim, is corresponding to the goat they slaughtered to dip Yosef's coat in blood. So that means it's with us every year. So Sinas Chinam is with us, and Lashon Hara is with us, and the sale of Yosef is with us. So what were they thinking? Wait a second, we just said they're big people. So that was all introductory. Because when you hear what Chazal say, you ask yourself, it begins with the assumption they were very, very big people. If you tell me they were very big people, so then this works. But that's the presumption. So I'm just saying that presumption has to be. Because if they're going to be, throughout the Torah, they're going to have this high role, so okay, if that's what the Torah is telling us, then the Torah knew what they were and weren't. We don't. We know through the Torah and through Chazal. So the starting point is Chazal tell us they were very, very big people. Which from the text, again, the continuation of the text indicates it. And then Chazal tell us that Hashem joined them in the sale of Yosef. This was, they make a cheirem after the sale. They pull Yosef out of the pit. And they basically tell him, we're going to kill you. But we're going to let you live and sell you to Mitzrayim. And you're going to promise by Hashem's name in this cheirem that you will never tell a living soul that we did this to you. And Yosef thinks he's going to die. Yosef has no choice and he joins. And according to the Medrash, Hashem agreed with him. And Hashem doesn't tell Yaakov. Until the day Yaakov dies, according to Pshat, he doesn't get to hear it, not from Yosef or the brothers. Yosef felt bound by that cherem. How do you make a cherem? Excuse me. What kind of bezdin is this? What are they selling him for? And why is he bound? They threaten a person and their cherem stands? How does that work? So now we have to start from scratch. So Chazal tell us that when Yaakov Avinu saw that someone moved his bed from one room to the other room, he didn't know who did it. Yosef walks in and says, Reuven did it. And then Yosef says, you should know that your sons are going out with women inappropriately. And Yosef saw things that he misinterpreted. Based on what he saw, he said the truth. But he didn't see it right. So Yosef came to Yaakov and he started reporting different things that the Shvatim were doing. And what he reported was the truth he saw, but it was a limited truth. And what ended up happening was that Yaakov sends the brothers, you take care of the sheep, and Yosef stays at home and gets his father's top education. And what the brothers start seeing is, they all get a sweater, Yosef gets a different sweater. And if Yaakov, when he worked for his wives, wanted Rachel, that was the wife he worked for, now the brothers are seeing that Yosef's getting not only preferential treatment, they're being told, you go be with the sheep. Yosef's staying home and getting an education. And I'll send Yosef every so often to check up on you guys. So wait, what's happening here? We're having a gradation system here. Yosef is the continuation of Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Yosef. And we are not going to be a part of Klal Yisrael. That's it. We're being cut out. They weren't worried about the money. They were saying, so that's what's going to happen here? If Yitzchak Avinu had two sons, Yaakov and Esav, and Esav is out, right? Yaakov's family is the continuation. They're going to inherit the land of Israel. So the brothers started getting the impression that Yaakov's perspective on them was that they're out. Yosef's the continuation. They're all the sons of Leah. They're the sons of the maids. So they told them, you're the sons of the maids. We're royal class. We're the sons of Leah. And we're the continuation of Yaakov. You guys are going to serve us. Where's Yosef? No, Yosef treats them nicely. Very nice, very benevolent. But he's reporting to his father things which they feel they can't contest. His reports get accepted by Yaakov, and their feeling is Yaakov's going with their reports. So the brothers don't see that they're going to win. And what the brothers see is, what did their father do when Yitzchak always thought that Esav was the chosen son? So Yaakov outsmarted him, right? He found a way to take the brachos without Yitzchak knowing. So the brothers said, we're going to do the same thing. We're going to, what they viewed, what it says in some of the Mefarshim is, they viewed Yosef as a rodef, a spiritual rodef. He wasn't trying to kill them, he was trying to destroy all of their future spiritually. So when the brothers saw that, the brothers said, we don't have to stand here and watch him destroy us. And Yosef was repeatedly giving reports, which the father said, okay.
To be fair, there is sort of a break where it talks about Yehuda and his boring.
So what do you want to say with that? And therefore what?
I'm saying was that a misinterpretation?
Yehuda and Tamar, you mean?
Yeah.
So that's another question.
He did tshuva for it. I mean, he was a stand-up guy at the end. in a way. But
it deserves an answer. But I'm saying lemaise, coming back to here, I'm saying it doesn't contradict what's here. It's another question.
You said that Yosef was telling stories and he didn't understand what he was saying. But I just gave an example. It stops, in the middle of the whole diatribe there to give us this example of Yehuda's purported indiscretions.
Okay, no one's saying the brothers were right. There was an element that they were right. There was an element that Yosef was wrong. Mm-hmm. That's what I said in the WhatsApp message, that you see times that Chazal side with the brothers. The Shekhinah goes with the brothers. The Shekhinah joins their Cherem. And Chazal tell us this was part of Hashem's plan and that Yosef paid the price because of the Lashon Hara. So then Chazal are giving us a very difficult story. Chazal are saying Yosef had to pay a price for the way he spoke about the brothers. That means on the one hand, Yaakov understands right. Yosef's amazing. On the one hand, Yosef's in the right. He's going to be the king. On the other hand, the brothers were in the right. Yosef was wrong. He was creating them. He was causing them to be bumped out, and he was wrong. So there is this element where
Yosef's major problem was he wasn't discriminatory in his what he said. What he his prophecy. He just blurted out.
I don't know. It's hard to know because Chazal don't go into a lot of details about his Lashon Hara. They give us very, very short pictures. And there are very few sentences in Chazal about the Dibatam Ra'ah. To make such a big decision, I'm saying the brothers are deciding. We get a general picture from Chazal.
His father's rebuking him.
Right.
About the dreams.
Right, but that's not enough for them to want to kill him. Saying when it's a point where they realize that if this continues, he's going to do the same thing Esav almost did to Yaakov. That Esav almost took all the blessings from Yaakov. So when they realize that, they say, we have to get him out of the way. And then whichever way, if the original method was leaving him in a pit, and if the alternate method was sending him out. But they came to a conclusion that he had a din of Rodef. Now, the concept of Rodef, we have a concept that when someone's coming to kill someone, they're allowed to kill him first. The idea that they felt spiritually he was a Rodef and that entitled them. So again, that gives us a much broader understanding of what just happened here with Dibatam Ra'ah. And the idea that Hashem was willing to join their Cherem definitely gives support to their credence.
One thing you didn't say.
Yeah.
Yaakov also had to pay a price here.
Right. Chazal say because Yaakov accepted the Lashon Hara.
Not only that, but what happened before.
What do you mean?
When he stole the book. Yeah.
So that's Machloket Rishonim, whether what Yaakov did was right or wrong, stealing the blessings.
How did the brothers know about the whole story with Yaakov's steal? Did he say, when I was your age, I stole the bracha from your uncle?
We see that Leah and Rachel knew it. We see that it became very famous in the world. Mm-hmm. It wasn't kept quiet. It says even Leah and Rachel knew it out in Paddan Aram. So it didn't stay in the family.
The neighbors talk.
Everyone's by. Esav was telling everyone, you think Yaakov's such a tzaddik? It says Esav would go around and say, Yaakov only looks like a tzaddik. But look at what he did to me. Yeah.
I'm saying
Begadol, that's the approach we see from Chazal. That Yosef was viewed as threatening their spiritual existence. And again, they weren't so off. They were off, but not so off. They were off enough that we're paying the price till today. But it's a very tough balance.
But it says in the Torah that fathers won't be put to death for the sins of their sons, and sons won't be put to death for the sins of their fathers. So how could Hashem punish?
It doesn't say that.
It doesn't say that in the Torah?
No.
It doesn't say in the Torah that sons...